Welcome to the Intuitive Therapist Podcast with Janice R. Cohen, therapist, clairvoyant, empath, and medium. Listen in as she takes a no-nonsense deep dive into real human struggles and how to resolve them. Janice will share channeled information from her spirit guide team, as well as the angels and archangels, to help you master your emotional, physical, financial, and spiritual destiny. And now, Janice R. Cohen.
Hey, y'all. This is Janice Cohen, the Intuitive Therapist here on the Intuitive Therapist Podcast. Welcome to another week. I wanted to make sure that those women in midlife who were interested in my free life training, which is going to be freaking amazing. I'm so excited to put the content together already. And I've got a bunch of women on the wait list already. I'm so pumped. I wanted to give those of you a short link to get on the wait list. The training, the free life training, is on May 9th at 7 p.m. Eastern. So if you're interested in the link, go ahead and get a pen and a piece of paper. And here is the link. It's https://b3xpudnw. So let's say that again. https://bit.ly/3xpudnw. So that will lead you straight to my waitlist page, and you will see where you can enter your name and email to get registered for this amazing training. And I couldn't be more pumped about it. So I can't wait to see all of you there. If you're lucky enough, you've learned that reflecting on your life is one of the biggest gifts you can give yourself. But not just looking back and seeing what happened and then moving on, but looking back and learning from what happened and then growing from it. I am a big proponent of self-reflection. And what I found myself doing as I approach my double nickel birthday on May 19th is that I'm thinking more about how I grew up. All the things that I didn't know, what I was conditioned to know and believe, and then really realizing what I know now. And every single one of us is on this learning curve, right? Babies come into this world completely innocently, and from their rearing and life conditioning, they become a symbol, a representative of their upbringing. And I was brought up with two parents who grew up in the Depression era. My dad was raised in a very volatile home with an alcoholic father, horrible physical abuse. And he and his family was evicted more times from his home, oftentimes, you know, out in the freezing cold streets of Boston, Massachusetts. And any of you know, if you've been to Boston, it gets very cold. So these are kind of things that happened to him when he was a kid. But my father was resilient. He was a strong, passionate, wise, and he was geniusly smart. I guarantee you that. If he ever had taken an IQ test, he would have been at the top of the charts. He learned from his life, though, and he created a close-knit family unit with us. And he was very successful, and he beat the odds of his past. But he carried some of the demons from his upbringing with him throughout his life, but he fought them off constantly, but they still haunted him. And those are just some of the things that, you know, maybe at your core don't change when you think about it. Even Oprah said that no matter how much money she earns, she still feels like that poor little girl who was raised back where she was raised. She had nothing. And the same went for my dad and most people from that era who also lived through the Depression. My mother came from a slightly different background. She wasn't raised without supply. She was, however, struck with the loss of her mother when she was 18 months old, and she carried a different kind of haunting. You know, oddly enough, we have pictures at home, and she looks just like her mother. It's actually pretty cool to see the insane likeness. Her father remarried her, meaning my mother's father, my grandfather, remarried a woman who treated my mother like Cinderella. My mother did the chores, took care of things, but never got the experience of what it was like to be treated like a daughter by this woman. Yet she doesn't really remember her biological mom, only through the black and white photos that sit on my mom's bedroom dresser. Both of my parents shared the same values, though: family, honoring our Jewish heritage, communication, being the anti-model of the things that their parent that they didn't like of their parents, and making sure we kids didn't want for anything, especially love, caring, and acceptance. And as part of reflecting on my life, I have to look at who my parents were and how they raised me. But more importantly, I have to look at all of the versions of myself to see the gaps and the gains. So I share these thoughts with you, and I ask you to look back on your life, just kind of thinking about some of the things I'm sharing with you today, see where your gaps and gains are. Also to take note of what you've learned in your lifetime up until now. So as you listen today, look back on your life with focus and intention. And remember, you're here now in this version of yourself because of everything that happened before you, right? What have you accomplished? What have you learned? Who have you become over time that you weren't before? And I could ask you a million questions. Y'all know I love the question, right? But for now, I'm going to share with you some of the things that I've learned up until this point in my life, up until the age of 55. First thing is that time heals if you let it. No matter how bad the pain feels now, give it time and work on resolving your grief. It doesn't mean rush it, because you can't rush grief. And it doesn't mean deny it, because you can't deny grief. But work on resolving it. You know, for you are the only one that carries the burden of the sadness until you release it, until it becomes something different. So find out what about this grief hurts you, right? Why it hurts so much. And then figure out a way to stop hurting by changing how you perceive the pain and the meaning that this loss that you've experienced has for you. Number two, the older you get, the less you care about what other people think. Well, at least that's what happened to me. So it's true that the older you get, you care less about what other people think, but not everybody gets here, right? Not everybody gets to this place where they don't care. Some are very highly driven. Many, many people are very highly driven to get the approval of other people. But how does this happen to start caring less about what other people think of you? Well, you go through enough of life and you get to a point where your values begin to shift from excavating who you are to understanding who you are. And with that understanding comes a sense of agency over yourself. And when you have agency, you take responsibility for who you are in all ways. And when you do that, you see, it doesn't matter what anybody else says or does, because you realize that your life has nothing to do with the opinions of others. That's when you stop caring. You also realize that the only person that matters most to you is you. And the primary goal you have to live out the second chapter of your life with happiness, fulfillment, and meaning is that you put you first and you make sure you're in good standing with yourself. Number three, fighting against the aging process is like trying to catch wind. This was so funny. I read this somewhere and I'm like, I have got to use this saying. You see, you already know what I'm about to say. You ladies, all of a sudden here you are in midlife with this body that seems very different than the body you had in your 20s and 30s. I look back and I giggle because I look a bit different. And you've got to figure out whether or not you can love and accept your midlife body, because it's vastly different than when you were younger. And the truth is, you can't fight the aging process. No cream, no serum, no diet, no exercise routine will inhibit it. It's part of being human to age. But you do have a choice about how you see it and how you feel about it. So if you can, stop wasting your time trying to reverse it. Instead, try seeing the beauty of who you are, the beauty of who you've become because of you, the fact that you've aged, because you've lived this much life. Number four, leave a legacy that makes a difference. At this point in my life, I've begun to think about legacy, the legacy I'm leaving. And while I'm still building legacy, I'm clearly aware that every action I take, every decision I make, and every single interaction I have all contributes to the kind of legacy I leave. And especially the interactions. You know what I think about? I think about two things. Showing up authentically 100% with no reservations. And two, to make sure that my authenticity has a positive impact on other people. That where they leave my presence saying, wow, I'm glad I spoke with her. Wow, I love her energy. Wow, unbelievable what she shared with me. It helped me shift my life. A positive experience. And sure, my ego wants me to have fame and fortune, and I'd be a fool to deny that. And probably your ego feels that too. And yet my soul knows that leaving a legacy that matters and makes a difference means that now and until I leave this physical body, I must intentionally choose to be a particular type of woman. The kind that is clear about who she is with others, the kind that prioritizes being of service, a woman who loves and supports and champions other women to rise up and meet their greatness and feel confident and express themselves, the kind of woman who loves the earth and animals and nature and treats them all as if they belong to her with great love, the kind of woman who has a good balance of masculine and feminine energy and can call on either one of them with the snap of a finger, the kind of woman who is so keenly aware of her gifts and faults and works to cultivate a sacred relationship with all of these parts, even if there are times when that's more difficult than others. To be the kind of woman that other women and young girls look up to and say, God, you know, when I get to be her age, I hope I'm like Janice. Because they feel so good in my presence. Because they know that I hold a space for them without judgment, jealousy, or malice. Number five, never stop being a student of life. Now, this is a lesson that I've finally gotten down pat. And what's more is that I've come to love to learn from life. Like, I love it. And I've caught on to how life works. So there is no mystery when something happens, only curiosity, owning my part and then deciding whether or not I want to change. Everything in life is our teacher. From the driver who pulls in front of us and drives at a snail's pace just when we're in a rush to get somewhere, to a former romantic partner that hurts us to our core, to our family members and friends who teach us about tolerance, love, boundaries, and belonging. You see, life is always teaching us something in every single moment. So never stop taking notes, never stop taking the tests, and always, always, always do your homework from life. Number six, what you think is a loss isn't a loss at all. Now, I can recall many, many, many times in my life where I've fallen into deep grief, where I lost a job that I couldn't afford to lose, where I lost money, and I'm watching my bank account like I have a few hundred dollars left, that's it. I lost a romantic partner that I thought was the one, many of them, right? But who rejected me, all of them, except for my husband, of course, and lost some opportunity that I really wanted, right? And it wasn't until I understood how the universe works that I struggled, right? All that time until I had this understanding about how the universe works, I was in a lot of pain. But once I realized that within the losses are all hidden blessings, it was like, okay, cool, I can deal with that. If I look at it that way, instead of looking at life just hurting me or pissing me off or punishing me, right? If we shift into a different meaning, then it changes how we approach it. So if you choose to see them, that all losses have hidden blessings. You see, losses make room for gains, even better gains. And the universe knows what you need, but doesn't give you what you want. That's 100% true, ever. Only unless what you want aligns with that thing that you need, That's when you get it, okay? So we get everything we need to grow and become our greatest selves. So stop focusing on loss and do something with it. Learn from it. Understand that you didn't have the outcome you wanted, not because life is shitty and out to get you and make you miserable, but because if you pay attention, you'll take a few steps to the side and wait for the better thing to come to you, because it always does if you do the work until it gets to you. Number 7, your ego is a bold-faced liar. Yep, your ego is a big old fat, ugly, nasty liar. So don't believe your thoughts unless they are good thoughts. You see, your ego is here to keep you in check, and more so to keep you safe and to keep you playing small. It doesn't want you to take chances. It doesn't want you to go out of your comfort zone. It doesn't want you to only believe positive good things and manifest like an MF-er, right? It doesn't want that. Your conditioning attaches to your ego as well, further reinforcing the need to stay cautious, avoid risk-taking, and build up your reservoir of regrets, right? So the next time you have a wave of nasty, critical, fearful, unhappy thoughts, stop and take a moment to question the truth of them. Any negative thought is never true unless it's universally true all the time for everybody in the world. So if that isn't the case, right? So for example, I've talked about this before. A universal truth is this: gravity exists. The sun always rises and sets. Grass is always green to some degree, right? Things like that. So unless it's true across the board for everybody all the time, it's not true. It's not a true belief or thought. So if that isn't the case with your negative, when your negative thoughts show up, right? And they're not true thoughts, you have to tell them to go visit somebody else, because you need to keep the doors open for positive and affirming thoughts only. And that's a conscious process. It's not a weak, flimsy, BS, oh, this never works process. If you do the work, and if you are so aware of how you think and feel, that's going to give you a clue. How you feel is going to give you a clue about the kind of thoughts that you are reinforcing in you. And if you feel bad and you're like, I don't want to feel bad, then you got to look at what you're thinking and believing in that moment and change it. Okay? Focus on only what you want, right? Only on the gains. Always question your thoughts, okay? They aren't ever written in stone, ever, ever, ever. Number 8, never judge a person by how he or she or they shows up. Remember when I said that life is always teaching you? Well, the universe uses people as our teachers, your main teacher. So when they show up, and they show up every day, all the time, okay? Everywhere, wherever you go, from the person you pass on the street to the person in the store, to your family members, your partner, your students, your clients, your friends, like all teachers. The universe uses people as teachers. So, right, when they show up with bad behavior, your job isn't to take that personally, right? It's your job to observe, notice, and be curious about, I wonder why they did that. And then if you're triggered, right? You get pissed off or you get offended, right? Your job is to do the work to release that trigger. And trigger work is simply realizing that there's something unsettled in you that is based off of how another person showed up. Like, I'll say this for women. And I was recently speaking with a group of women about a couple of things. And one of the things that came up was how we women tend to discriminate, criticize, belittle, put down other women that threaten us. And when I say threaten, I don't mean like in your face, I'm going to beat you up kind of threat. What I mean is they threaten our sense of self-confidence, right? So if we see a beautiful woman who is dressed to fit her very fit body, right? And we don't feel good about ourselves, we're going to criticize her for having the courage, we wouldn't call it courage at the time, but having the courage to be seen, right? I hear it all the time. You know, people are in the gym and they see this woman with a great body coming in with these tight short shorts and this beautiful outfit. And they're like, who is she to show up like that? What a snob. How can she look like that? You know, judgy pants all around. Instead of saying, my God, that is a good looking woman. She's really worked hard for her body. Way to go. Way to go, right? So never judge a person by how they show up. So you never know what somebody's been through either, ever. And you never know how a kind word, a gesture, or a smile, or a hello, how are you, can help somebody who seems disgruntled. Think about when you go to the grocery store, when you go somewhere where people are working for minimum wage. Who wants to work for minimum wage? Really? Nobody. So don't ever think that that's really where they want to be. And you'll find that a lot of people who work minimum wage jobs do not have smiles on their faces. Okay? So your job is to not take this personally. And if you have the opportunity to bring a smile to somebody's face, to thank them, to say, oh my gosh, I love your hair, or you've been so kind, or thank you for your patience, do it, right? All, like, the words that we use are gifts, and we can help uplift somebody, or we can take them down with it, right? So I love making people laugh when I see they're not happy. Like, and that's not because I'm uncomfortable with people being unhappy. It's just because I know that if I'm looking at somebody, like I'm checking out at Publix, and they got a unhappy face on, you know, I have compassion for that. I used to work retail. I know what it's like. I don't want to work that job, but to survive at that point in my life, I had to. And so I have compassion for that, and I want to make them smile. And maybe, you know what? Maybe what I say to them will brighten their day, and they'll remember that, and they'll feel like, oh, you know what? I'm glad I work at Target or Publix or wherever, because I encountered this really amazing woman with beautiful energy who was so kind, and I really could use that day. So I show them silliness, and or like I say, I thank them for how they've helped me, and I wish them a happy day. And, you know, I share with them, like I said, it could be the nicest part of their day. I mean, I know I've experienced that with people who, just because they're so kind and nice, maybe they hold the door open instead of just walking in and letting the door slam in front of me. I always appreciate that, right? And I do my best. I'm human, but I do my best as much as possible to refrain from judging somebody whose shoes I haven't worn, right? So if you're judgy pants, that's because you haven't walked in somebody's shoes and you got stuff to settle with yourself. You couldn't possibly know what they're experiencing behind closed doors. You have no clue. So what people show you isn't always what's true going on behind the scenes. Number 9, keep an active child state. My nieces and nephews have always called me Fun Aunt Janice all my life. Like, you know, not because I can't be serious, y'all know I can, but because I love to be silly, and that helps me feel free. One of my favorite, most favorite things, oh my gosh, it's kind of like being in a room of St. Bernard puppies. My favorite thing is to be around young kids. And somehow they know something we don't, or at least by the time we get into adulthood, we've somehow forgotten what we did know when we were young, right? We placed it on the back burner. But these little kitty poos, they know how to stay present and be totally satisfied with the simplicities of life. If you look at a 2 or 3 year old, like, all they're doing is just being present, and they're not asking why, or they're not asking for anything more than, hey, can I have that piece of chalk to draw, the sidewalk chalk to draw, or a paintbrush or Play-Doh? Or they're just fascinated by what's going on now, right? They enjoy every lick of ice cream, and they're present and totally satisfied with the simplicities of life. They love to jump in a puddle of water without caring how wet they'll get, right? They laugh uncontrollably at the silliest things that tickle their funny bone, right? Or, you know, just giving the most complete and precious sense of love that comes from holding your hand when that little hand holds yours, or when they play with you and you smell their sweet little smell, kissing your cheek and telling you, I love you. Oh, is that not the most delicious thing? To me it is, because their energy is so sweet and pure and good. And anybody that knows me loves that I love little chunky babies, knows that I love being around little kids, because it gives me a chance to do what they do. And when I'm adulting, I can't always do that, right? So you've got to make sure that you strengthen your child state, because laughing, being present, and having fun balances life out. And it brings us back to the innocence that we once had before we knew there were rules that told us we couldn't be that way. Number 10, and this is the last one, live unapologetically without contempt. And I add that last part because there are some people who live unapologetically, but they have their middle finger up to the world. That's not what I'm talking about. That's contempt. It's acting out. It's being oppositional and defiant. That's not what I'm talking about. When you live unapologetically, right, you got you and you're good with you, right? This took me decades to achieve. And it wasn't until I turned probably, it wasn't until probably 3 years ago, when I turned 52, that I got it, that I understood it, that I achieved it. And the only way that I could get to this point of living unapologetically, it came from several things. One is that I know who I am and what I want, and I know what I don't want in my life, because I've had enough of that. So I will never allow what I don't want in my life again. So I have very strong boundaries. And I know that I'm capable to achieve whatever I like. I know sometimes things will require me to work hard, and I'm really okay with that, because if my why is big enough, if I'm excited about it enough, I don't give rats you know what about what I have to do to achieve it. The second thing is I know that what other be and what I think matters most first and last, because I have to live with me, right? And if I'm good with me, then that is all that matters. And the third part is I will always be psychologically intact, because I've done the work on myself, because I've spent my entire life learning from my life, no matter what happens to me, no matter how painful, no matter how sad, no matter how consequential, I am always intact. I've been broken before many, many times, and have put myself back together again more times than I can count. And every time I put myself back together a little bit differently. And I'm still here. I'm still learning. I'm still helping. I'm still kind, caring, and loving. And most importantly, I've come to learn that what other people do is a reflection of them, not me. That's why I don't care what they think, but I learn from them. And the last one is the more I show the world who I truly am, the happier and more fulfilled I become. Hiding, fearing, worrying about being judged by others only comes from a place of inadequacy. Even though I still struggle at times with the negative thoughts of my ego, I will always find a way to bounce back, and that makes me stronger, more impenetrable, more durable, and more transparent. Makes me feel like when I am, even the things that I share with you, when I am completely transparent, because I know that no matter what I share, whatever you do with it, that's not mine, right? If you use it to your benefit, fantastic. That's the intention. But if you don't, that's on you. It's of no cost to me to share my truth, because I walk in my truth. I will always be myself with everyone, and everybody will always see the same version of me, because I'm good with me. I'm good with me. And because I'm good with me, no one can ever truly hurt me again. If I choose to let them hurt me and create a meaning about their behavior that means something about me, that's when I get hurt. But nobody can ever truly hurt me again. Nothing that happens can break me. When I'm unapologetically me without contempt, and I'm just good and at ease, that's what I mean without contempt. I can love more, I can give more, I make my own rules, I can create more, I can do things my way, and I can be more. I don't ever apologize for who I am, because I know that I always have a positive intention. I'm not out to hurt anybody. I'm not out to get anybody. I'm not out to manipulate anybody. I am out here to show what's possible because of what I've learned. And I'm out here to make a difference. And I'm out here to change lives. It's taken me 5 decades to know who I am. So if you're still on that path, please don't feel bad. I don't care what age you are. Please don't feel bad. We grow at the rate that we're supposed to grow and at the time we're supposed to grow. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't throw away that education for anyone or anything. I do not regret anything. I've earned my self-respect, my self-esteem, and my self-worth. And I hope one day that if you practice these 10 things that I mentioned, that you will find yourself being able to say out loud and with the sense of confidence that you hear in my voice, you're good with you.
Thanks for listening to The Intuitive Therapist. If you like what you heard, the best compliment you can give us is to share this podcast with a friend. And be sure to give us some stars and a favorable review at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen in.